you that have been in the class, the last lesson we had had brought us up to the grace and glory time. That is our time. You that are new in the class, I will just give a real short summary as to what we mean by dispensation. Dispensation is the way that God judges men. We have brought out that the way that God saves men from Adam and Eve on, Abel, is faith in the seed or the promised seed or the Lord Jesus Christ and His work. It was demonstrated by a blood sacrifice. They looked forward in each and every age. The first age being innocence, that was Adam and Eve. They were given one commandment, and they broke it. The next age was conscience, that there they had the conscience of the difference between good and evil, and the conscience became completely, as it said, seared with a hot iron. They just didn't pay any attention to it. The third age was government. It ended. They rebelled against God, would not multiply the earth. They were scattered at the Tower of Babel. Their language was changed. The fourth age, God dropped the human race in general and chose one man. He chose one nation. He dealt with one nation. That was Abraham. And it ended in Egypt, in slavery, the brothers themselves selling Joseph to Egypt and rebelling. Then we had the age of the law that was given to Moses, that was brought out when they swore and took an oath that they would do anything, not just one commandment like Adam and Eve, but it's impossible to keep all those that they got. And that age we brought out ended at the cross. He nailed all that age to His cross, the law. And we had just begun the age of grace and glory, but we had covered quite a lot of it. And so we will just say that the age of grace and glory, we brought out how that it began on the day of Pentecost, that if you will read that all were baptized, that is 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, that is the day of Pentecost. And this is where the church began. Now, we will turn to Acts. You can turn to Acts 1:3, and there you will find out that he was seen of them for 40 days, speaking to them about the kingdom of God. This is the 40 days transmission time. But notice that he spoke to the disciples about the kingdom of God during this 40 days. And then verse 6, they ask him, will you restore again the kingdom of Israel? He tells them that the times, those times weren't for them to know, but that they would receive power after they had received the Holy Spirit. And you'll see that their answer there, the power, that they were more interested themselves in the restoring of the kingdom, or they would rather have power over the Romans and the Gentiles rather than have power that the Holy Spirit will give an individual to have power over themselves or over self and the world. And that's generally how it is with us. But he tells them to go and seek for it. And then he he's taken up from them. And let's turn to, then the we believe that the 7 days or the week after the entry was probably the stoning of Stephen. Now let's turn to Acts 15. This is about 15 years after, about 13, I would say, years after, somewhere in that. And the question had came up, should this age of grace be put under the law? And the subject come up, this is chapter 15, 5, there were many Pharisees which believed that wanted to put them, or the believers at this time, back under the law. And they had quite a disputation over it. And this was their decision, and should be ours once and for and all, that the law was not this age, as we will read here. And the subject is, these were saved people, believers, should they be put under the law to be made perfect? Or that they may become, you know, more sanctified. And that's the subject here. And verse 8, 15, 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them with witness, having given them the Holy Ghost, even as, this is a Gentiles, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. This purifying, they were purified when they were saved, and surely when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the subject is being purified or sanctified walk here. Do you have to keep the law to have a sanctified walk? But we believe, it says, now therefore, why tempt ye God? Why tempt ye God to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers or we were able to bear? Putting someone back under law or rules is tempting God. The same as they tempted him back in the 19th of Exodus. These people tempted God and told him that anything that he told them to do that they were able to do. And this verse shows that they never did do it. They were unable to do it. The only thing that saved them was the sacrifice. And the ceremonies of the sacrifice that only pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ and his death. But we, verse 11, but we believe that through the grace, the gospel of grace and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, or we shall, the subject here is a sanctified walk. They were saved. Or that we will go into our salvation even as they. In other words, even as they is the only way they were saved too, was grace. If it hadn't been for grace, if it hadn't been for the sacrifice, they would have never went on, would have they? They would have been destroyed when Moses came down the first time with the law. So once and for all, this was settled. You can read Romans 11:5 there with that. Well, we have come up to this part of it, and you say, well, what do you mean that the different principles of judging of God? Here is an example. In Romans 2:12, it says, as many as have sinned. He is taking people that are still sinners. Here he is taking the Jews that had the law and the Gentiles that never were under the law, but these two have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ or trust in the seed to come. So here he gives you two different principles here of how they will be judged. It says, as many as have sinned, and all have, and these haven't been, their sin hasn't been put under the blood, but he says they're not under the law, will perish. They won't be saved without law if they're not saved, or won't be judged according to the law. And then he says those that are under the law will be judged according to the law. There you have two different principles of judging. So what we have tried to bring out in this dispensational study is the age of the law and the age of grace and glory, or the gospel of the grace and glory. You cannot mix them. Romans 11:6 says if you will mix grace and law, you will end up with neither. So from the 19th chapter of Exodus, you have got to especially get it clear what scriptures as far as doctrine of law and grace. You must come to this. We live right in between the two dispensations that are the most less understood. Up to that time, if you read the other dispensations, it could be history to you. And God still does deal according to government, carrying on that, and each one of those exists. But if you mix or try to mix law with grace, you're going to end up with neither of them. You'll never fulfill the law, and you will never grow in grace. That's as simple as that. And then we will come into as far as the church replacing Israel, that is not so. Romans 9:10-11, those three chapters should make you a dispensationalist. If there's no place else in the Bible, that surely shows you that Israel was just set aside. The church didn't take Israel's place in the kingdom. Theirs is a complete different thing. We are to set our affections on things above, not a land. What a change. An eye for an eye under the law. We are to turn the other cheek as it is. So, the law of the church and the kingdom is what is mixed up next. We know this time as the millennium, but this church age, as many have taught that they would bring in the millennium, it'll never happen. We read scriptures last week to show that it would be Israel that would convert the nations. During this time, it's to anyone that believes can come into God's best. Any individual. Whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether any status in life, if you'll believe, you can come into God's best. During the law, it would have been utterly impossible for you to, being a Gentile, to have gotten any further than the first gate. Absolutely. Ephesians tells us that ye were without these promises. Now during this age of the gospel, it's plain that anyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said about the jailer, what must I do to be saved? It was just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. He wasn't saying that you can believe for your house. He was just saying that your house has got to believe exactly the same way that you did. There, so we find out that during the age of grace, it's to
whosoever will believe the gospel. And then the next mix-up is this church and kingdom age that we come to. Now, if you mix this age with the grace age, you're never going to understand the prophecies. That is, of Jesus, too. Especially Matthew 24, there at the end. You'll never understand them if you don't see that those prophecies, and Jesus was under the law. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are clear up to the cross, so they're under the law. Jesus sent his disciples to the house of Israel. He spoke about the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount is not only the law, but he brings out the law exactly how it will be during the time when Israel's heart, when they have a new heart, when they're born. Otherwise, you can't even begin to think that you read the Sermon on the Mount, and if you're an honest person with yourself, you'll just turn around and walk away if it's up to you. He brings out, not only will his kingdom be a thus and thus, thou shalt do and not do, but it'll be a heart thing. It'll be when he said, as he dealt with man, he says, finally, the imagination or the thoughts of men are continually wicked, continually. When they are born again as a nation, their hearts will be just like his. Then they'll be able to just live the Sermon on the Mount. Their thoughts, their intentions, their motives, he brings out there on that sermon. He goes a lot further than you outwardly not stealing something because you'll be punished. See, I can make my hand not steal something that I really want to steal if nobody was around, and I wouldn't get caught. But I might not make my heart not want to steal it. And this is what will happen when Israel returns. So if you get the kingdom and the church mixed up, the church isn't going to replace the kingdom. The church never replaced Israel. There, as we read, there and you read all further there in Acts 15, you'll find out that during this time, God is visiting the Gentiles to take out. And they agreed to that. Then he would return and build again the house of David. So, if you'll never realize what the end of the age of that will be if you get the end of this age mixed up with what he's saying there. You'll never know what the consummation of the thing is there in Matthew 24, or the consummation of all things, if you try to apply the church to the kingdom and who he was talking. They were asking, when will us Jews, when will you restore the kingdom? Now the millennium, as far as millennium is, they say, well, millennium isn't in the Bible. Catholics believe that there's many groups of what they believe. They believe it was the first 1,000 years. 1,000 years was past people in Europe got up on mountains and waited for the Lord, and they starved to death. If you know history. And since then, we just had another case of not knowing or dividing the Word of God at all. Anyway, in Revelations 20, you'll find out that the devil was bound for 1,000 years. This is a Latin word which means millennium, and that's the only place you're going to find millennium, which is for Latin thousand. In Isaiah 2, it starts concerning, if you want to read there, it says, concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is what this is about. Then he goes on to say that all nations will be ruled from out of Zion or Jerusalem. And that Zion is not Salt Lake City or the city of Seven Hills in Rome or many other places. When the kingdom set up, it definitely says that Jerusalem shall rule all nations. And when the Jew first is converted, as when a nation is saved in a moment, and when they go out as the Great Commission, they'll baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost at that time, and they will convert the nations. The church will never do it. And they're never to do it in the Bible. But there you'll read in Isaiah 2 that they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. War shall be no more. And you can go on and read more there about this time. This time has never happened. And there are those that try to bring in the millennium and this kind of stuff with their own philosophy and with their own movement. It'll never happen until the Jews do it. And that's what's going on now. Isaiah 11, it's called the branch or the root or the rod of Jesse. It's from a stump that a little shoot sticks up. In other words, Israel was cut off, as we find out in Romans, as a nation. And it's talking as a nation there, not as an individual. It says, be not high-minded, speaking of all the Gentile nations, and saying that they were cut off as the stump that you'll read there. And the royal line, it's talking about the royal line of David, that this little shoot comes out. And that when he, not his, they rejected him. We know that as we talked last Sunday. They rejected him. But this root will come, and at this time, we read all the wolf and the lamb shall lay down together, the leopard and the goat shall feed together. And then verse 11, and the Lord will bring, this is the second time. Notice it's the second coming. Not the first coming there in verse 11. Will bring for the second time them back into the land. Now the first time he brought them back was Babylon. The second time he brought these Jews back was 1948. And the same as that was the beginning of the fulfillment of these scriptures. The same as he says, as in, this is that was spoken of the prophet Joel. Well, that was just the beginning, Pentecost. Because if you go ahead and read the entire thing, the Messiah will be in their midst of Israel. So the outpouring of this was, if you read these scriptures and think, well, the whole thing is in just one time, then this is what we're showing you, the confusion of the thing. But not until the millennium, not until Israel has accepted Christ as their Messiah, the same as the second return of Moses. That's when he had the glory on his face. They didn't see that. Only thing they seen was a law and angry that they could not, when he came into the temple, they could not fulfill. This second time is the second time that the Jews came into the land. You'll read there. It's the second time that all this will happen. And from 1948, it's begun to happen. We're seeing it right now. All these scriptures, and there's so many more. And then from the second time, they were scattered that is in the Roman Empire, as you read all those scriptures. They drove them from the land, and then they were kept and divided in Europe for this time. And then Isaiah 61:1, and if you want to turn to Isaiah 61:1 and verse 2, and then read Luke 4:18. And if you that have a Scofield Bible, you can read Scofield's note on Luke 14:18. Now this is why Jesus, when He started His ministry, what He did in Nazareth there. If you're in Luke 4:18. Now He's quoting from Isaiah 61:1. And let's see where He stops. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to anoint me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And then He stops. Notice he doesn't go any further with the wrath, with the chastisement, with then the setting up of the kingdom. Because they were right there is when, and He talked a little further, and they tried to kill Him, didn't they? They tried to, if you read on further there, they tried to even push, they were going to reject Him, in other words. And then in Zechariah, we'll read now, when will the grace age end? Read 1 Thessalonians 4:15. And notice that that is the manner. His manner when He told them, it says He ascended, and the two men stood by and said, "Why do you gaze?" This same Jesus, not a different Jesus, this same Jesus in like manner will come. That is in Acts 1:11. Then we read in Zechariah 14:1, that war for all the nations, and at this time, this is the tribulation, as we said, this age will end in the tribulation. The time of the church age ends in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. It says, the day of Christ, which is the same as the day of the Lord in the Old Testament, that's when He will come for the overcomers, on that time. So do not, it says, they shall be caught up. We're not going to be caught up to the Mount of Olives. This is two complete different, this is where He comes back to Israel. That is Zechariah 12:10. They shall look on Him who they have pierced on this mountain. Zechariah 14 says His feet will stand there. The same matter with the clouds, which will be the overcomers. Closer, and that is in 1 Corinthians 15. That is the order, and that order will be followed. The clouds, that isn't a fleecy cloud. That's the overcomers that took Him. Those will come to that mount, and His feet will stand in the very same spot that He left. That's what this is saying. If you read it. And if it goes on there in Zechariah 4, you'll read it says that the many things, it says men then will be walking around like corpses, their tongues rotting, in their mouth, their eyes rotting. What is radiation? You read all that they're going to have this great and horrible time during that time. And then Zechariah 12:2, it says, I will Jerusalem... He says, I'll make Jerusalem the cup of trembling unto all people. If you fit this on, what is Jerusalem to all of the nations right now? It's a cup of trembling. We're all just, we know they're going to plunge us into this third world war. And that is what is happening now. And it says they'll be burdensome, a stone to all the nations, to all the people. Which they are right now. We cannot get them to settle anything. They're out of place with God, and God is going to bring them in. If you read, and there's many other scriptures. Well, when are these scriptures to be fulfilled? They're not fulfilled during our time, during the church time. Our time and our judgment says that during our times, the love of many would wax cold. That's happened already. Our end is the judgment. Well, in this study, I hope that you will have got a lot out of the dispensations and then the everlasting gospel into the eternity. We don't know what it is. We'll have to wait. But to mix up church and kingdom and law and grace would be as foolish for me to get up 100 years into the millennium and preach 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Wouldn't that be foolish, 100 years in the millennium, to get up and preach that after the bride had been gone for 107 years? Well, I hope that you'll rightly divide the word of truth.